Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the Podcastianos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna get it.
Welcome into a very 500 episode of the Podcastianos. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined as always by a man who, if the season ended today, would be in the playoffs. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling strong and healthy for the most part. Is that a true statement about the Tigers that if the season ended today, they'd be in the playoffs?
It is. They would be the fourth five wild cards if that is in fact how this thing is decided.
I got to tell you, the whole mechanics of who's in and who's out and how the whole season is structured, I feel like I'm learning as I go.
Well, like, just between you and me, Eric, I don't think that down the stretch it's actually going to matter to us how that happens. But, you know, as we decided last week, we are a little excited about it potentially mattering for us.
Are you daring to poo-poo the Detroit Tigers?
No, I'm...
Don't you dare.
I haven't bought in, but I've let my imagination run wild. We're 10 games into the year. There's 50 games left. Who knows? As I said, hashtag why not us?
Who knows? Everything is made up. Nothing really counts or matters. Did you see the standings for the NL East? It's comedy. Like the Marlins are in first place because they're 2-1. They've played three games. It's just everything is chaos.
Everyone's the other chasing the fighting like Jeters. Yeah.
Fighting Jeters. Ugh.
But everyone good and safe in your household?
Yeah, as far as I know, I haven't checked on everybody in the last few minutes, but, you know, we're going to assume everything's fine.
House staying poultry free.
Yes, the turkeys have been on a hiatus. They must tune into the podcast and know I'm upset about their presence. So they've kind of gone away.
I feel like if they would have known how upset you were, that would only draw them more to your landscaping. So clearly that cannot be the reason.
My anger fuels their rage. Yes. Your presence. Stupid turkeys.
So Eric, do you remember Korean baseball? It was that thing that we were all in for like a hot minute before stateside baseball started coming back and we completely shut it out of our mind.
Yep. It was the only game in town for a little while. So, and by town, I mean the world.
The world. Yeah. So it looks like we shouldn't have jumped ship so soon because some big news just hitting the wire today. Apparently, Hyun-Soo Kim, who I believe had a brief run with the Orioles, if I'm correct.
Okay.
Just won a Kia Sorento for hitting a home run into the home run zone at Champions Field. He became the fifth player to win the big prize. Preston Tucker also won a Sorento earlier this year. As big fans of the lighter side of baseball, why is it that we don't have more stuff like this? Baseball is the perfect hit-it-here sport.
I kind of agree with that. At the Whitecaps, they had like a big tire. You could hit it through the tire.
That's an awesome one, yeah.
You probably, although it's minor league baseball, you probably win a free oil change or something. I mean, let's be real about it. Doesn't the Tigers have the Bell tire, like tarp thing?
Yeah, I think out in right field. Interesting that they're both tire related. Interesting.
Yeah, very automotive driven. Yeah, yeah. Now, tell me about the Korean thing. Like, did they have to hit it through like a moon roof or something like that, or is it a big zone? Do you know?
I do not know. This may be the kind of thing that I only read the one tweet about.
One tweet is plenty for any subject.
I mean,
anybody can become an expert in a tweet or two. It's fine.
But like, I don't understand why some people, you know, why we don't have things that like people care about when stuff hits targets. You know, like,
okay,
hit it here and like everyone gets
like a child,
notch,
like a small child.
I mean, that would certainly make an impression.
You know, are you one of these guys who likes to hit the cart pit ball picker upper at the driving range? You know, you go to the golf driving range and then there's the little cart that tries to pick up the balls and you try to hit it and it's got the cage. Are you that guy?
I would be that guy. I have been to the driving range exactly one time in the last, I don't know, 8 or 10 years. But if that was something I did regularly, I feel like that'd be a pretty easy one.
So what are your suggestions, Hall? Where are we going with this? What are you desiring?
So I think that it would be very beneficial if instead of people winning something, if like something happened because of somebody hitting a target or whatever, like hit it.
Like giant, like a giant fan with dolphins that would rotate and like neon colors and, you know, a big display in the outfield, something like that.
That would be awesome. I was thinking more
somebody
like
come up with something like that.
Hit it here and somebody has to play shirtless for an inning or something like that.
Sure.
Or if you hit off the
don't
foul.
Don't they do the Bernie the Brewer slides down the slide?
Yeah, but that's just for a home run. That's not specifically for hitting it here. I want something like Bernie's got to like do a specific dance on the field if they hit a target out in left center. Something like that.
You hit a car and you have to like sacrifice a virgin or something like that.
I mean, yeah, maybe that's a bit of an extreme example, but yeah, along those
something
lines.
Something intense, yeah, more exciting.
Hit the foul pole and a bear is let loose on the field.
I'm good with that. A hungry bear better be.
I think all bears are always hungry.
Should be.
I mean, I'm only an amateur zoologist, but I'm pretty sure that's correct.
So what kind of prize are you giving out?
No prizes. No prizes. Only weird stuff happening.
Just the excitement.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that baseball player was excited about receiving a Kia?
I don't know. What are salaries like out over in Korea? If it were Ronald Acuna or somebody who's loaded winning that, I don't know that they would be, but you know, if it's a
do you think your average major league baseball player is excited about winning a Kia?
No, but I think your average Korean baseball player might be.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't think that if Nico Goodrum, that might be a stretch. There's not a whole lot of high earning Tigers.
But how many cars are on your list of favorite cars above a Kia? So many. Kias are not that cool.
The utilitarian go-to of cars.
You know what I'm doing? I'm parking a boat out there, yacht. And if you hit it in the boat, you get the boat.
That's cool. Yeah, because what baseball player doesn't already have a car? It should be a luxury item like a yacht. I really like that idea.
Sure. Think of all the run a boat company could get. Yeah. Park your boat out there.
I feel like there should be a bunch of like nautical/baseball puns that we could use.
Yeah. Like ducks on the pond.
Oh, there we go.
Hit in the boat.
Somebody at the commissioner, try and get some of these ideas through.
I got lots of terrible ideas. Just call me.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comerica. No, Eric Wayne's brain.
Yeah, I changed it.
And at Podcastianos, I've probably said Eric Wayne's brain at least 10 or 15 times now, and it still automatically comes out Comeric Eric. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. I'll spell it JORDINHO and the number 4. Some extra hot zoo content since I moved to South Bend and now have a local zoo. So you can look forward to that. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on.
Hey, friends. Do you love podcasts like the one you just listened to? Have you ever dreamed about having your own? Well, my name is Michael, and I work for Truthwork Media. We believe that everyone has a story, and every story deserves a podcast. Let us help you get started. Look us up at www.truthworkmedia.com, fill out our questionnaire, and I'll schedule a time to talk. It's really that easy. Truthwork Media. Everyone has a story. Yours needs a podcast.
So, Eric, as we previously mentioned, as the season stands, the Tigers would be in the playoffs. Because of this, I have a renewed sense that the season will probably not be played to a conclusion.
What makes you feel that way?
Well, I mean, historically, I would say that we don't have the best of luck on our side. And it was more of just a joke that because good things were happening to the Tigers, that they wouldn't right. be sustained as opposed to...
These aren't COVID fears for you.
These are. I mean, it'll be what it's going to be. I've stopped starting or I've stopped postulating what I think is going to happen after the second outbreak that has now also not stopped the season. So last week we decided that we were going to be a little bit excited about the 2020 sure. Tigers. Where is your excitement level sitting now as we are 10 games in, exactly 500?
It was kind of a downer getting swept in that doubleheader, especially in the first game. I thought for sure we could have stole that one, especially after our namesake won Nicholas Castellanos. And wasn't it a classic Castellanos performance?
So
it was quintessential.
So vintage. Yeah, loved it.
Very vintage. He cranks two home runs and then kind of erases them.
I'd agree with that.
Away. What's that?
I said, yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah. It was a pretty firm erasure.
Yeah. Now, it wasn't a super easy catch, but it was, for a major league ball player, a reasonable catch to expect.
Yeah, it was probably the center fielder's ball, but he was there. It hit off his glove. It's Nick. Like, yeah. That was always how that particular instance was going to end. It was so classic. And yeah, that was funny. Definitely enjoyed that one.
You know, and the thing is, like, you have this inner tension with yourself about Nick. Like, yeah, it would be still nice to have him, but it's purely a dollars and cents matter. It's not like we didn't like Nick Castellanos and we didn't want his bat. It's just the stage that our team is at. I saw somebody post like, oh yeah, it's the Tigers were smart in letting him go and going with Victor. It's Victor Reyes. And I was like, that's not the play here. I mean, Nick is a significantly better baseball player. It just wasn't a fit thing.
Yeah, it wasn't a conscious decision to, hey, I think Victor Reyes yeah. is a comparable replacement.
that's not how this is working.
But the internet has no nuance, and we all know that.
Well, and I'm probably misrepresenting this person's point, but
I don't think so. I think we should just continue to pile on them.
But Nick has, you know, he's got a big bat, right? Yeah. He refined his swing some more, and in Cincinnati, shouldn't he just mash?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have to credit at Mike_Curland on this one. He had a breakdown on actually the adjustment on Nick's swing. It looks like he says there's different pre-swing bat movement and a smaller, quicker step, which I feel like he's always been a little bit of a lunger, and I think quieting that down has been a huge thing for him. But his ground ball rate is a career low, which in Cincinnati, that's probably a good idea.
Listen to you. That breakdown.
To be fair, this isn't my breakdown. This is me reading someone else's breakdown.
You went to the
effort
to steal it. Yeah. That counts.
At least I actually had whose it was. I feel like normally I say, I saw somebody who said.
That's my style, yeah. That was very noble of you to cite your sources.
Yeah. So let's get into it. Big reason for the decline in excitement other than getting swept and losing one to Trevor Bauer is the impromptu break in the season the Tigers are sitting through because the Cardinals couldn't travel to Detroit because of COVID issues. Before we get into any of the serious stuff, I want to draw everyone's attention to the irony. I feel like the Cardinals are always seen as the the fans are supposed to be the best fans in baseball. Yeah. You know, Matheny was the holder of the unwritten rules, and obviously this is it could and probably will happen to any team. I just wanted to make the connection there to the irony, but let's jump from that crude statement to the human perspective. What type of mental toll do you think this has on specifically the Tigers players?
Well, I don't know about the Tigers so much, you know, but I will tell you, correct me if I'm wrong, but pitchers especially are creatures of habit. Baseball players are creatures of habit. They get up at a certain time. They show up at the ballpark at a certain time. You know, the one day is, you know, running day, and one day is this day and bullpen day or whatever. Now, all that's out the window. I mean, you're constantly trying to put that together. So I think that's an uncomfortable position, but all teams are needing to figure this out. I don't think the scheduling and the workout stuff is even as important as kind of the mental toll. I don't know about you and your family and your community, but just it seems like everybody's mental and emotional health these days has taken a dip.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be your best self these days. It's hard to be on top of your game when you're worried about, okay, you're making decisions about where to go and what to do and how to protect yourself. I mean, two Major League Baseball teams have had this virus, if not sweep through their clubhouse, be present in your clubhouse. And aren't you, if you're a Tigers player, aren't you kind of looking over your shoulder and saying, okay, am I being careful enough? What's going on? I'm imagining that takes a toll on you as well.
Yeah, I think it has to be a huge, like, these guys are in my literal exact same situation and they're coming down with it. Like, I don't know how that doesn't affect you, specifically when it's staring you in the face of, I can't play tonight because that went on over there. Right. Yeah. It feels like a fish in a barrel situation. Like, they're all so jammed in. Like, I have to think that eventually it's going to sweep most. Like, it just seems like, I mean, obviously, we enjoy getting baseball back. We've enjoyed having all of the other sports on, but it just is such a fraught situation.
You know, it's like every other grouping of society. There's very, very spread out opinions, very polarized opinions. But yeah, there's a lot of people saying and have said, shut it down. It's not worth it. And I think in baseball, those are probably the more vocal people to say, hey, is this worth it? Selfishly, I want baseball. I like to, you know, I want it around, but it's not worth somebody getting hurt for.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, it's purely, you know, you have to wager the risk against the upside. And I guess the upside of having something is worth it for baseball to potentially have it plow through entire teams.
You're starting to see a little glimpse of some of the tension between the players and ownership. It's not overt, but occasionally you'll see a player tweet something or insinuate something about, hey, we're sticking our neck out here a little bit, you know. So, and set like, and then you got guys like Cespedes. He said, I'm done. Now, maybe there's more to that story. It is Cespedes, but you've had there's been a handful of guys opt out and say, hey, it's not worth it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we spent such a lot of time, you know, lauding and rightfully so, you know, some of the frontline workers, and in a similar way, they're obviously they're being more well, you know, compensated than those people, but they are sticking their necks out, like you say, essentially to provide a service for, like, They're doing it obviously to take care of their families, but also for our entertainment. So I think that's, I think it's something.
In the words of the great American poet, here we are now, entertain us.
From a baseball standpoint, is this a good thing, a bad thing? Speaking of the 4-day layoff, what's your take there?
As far as if it's good for the Tigers or not?
Yeah, specifically.
Well,
us.
After getting our butts whooped after a long day, for sure one day off I thought would have been nice, but I think this is a little excessive. I don't think it helps anybody. But it's probably fine.
Feels a bit like when a football team has an early bye. Like, it gives you a chance to kind of reset, but also you know that there's a whole long season coming after that you're definitely not going to have any breaks in, which, but, you know, it allows them to reset the rotation, possibly get Tyler Alexander in it if they want. You know, there are some practical applications. Speaking of Tyler Alexander, what in the world?
What the heck? I tell you what, that provided a jolt of energy and excitement around the Tigers that I have not felt in a while. That was darn fun. I mean, I'm squealing like a little girl when he's striking out, you know, these guys. And that was just plain fun. Were you able to see it or catch up with it a little bit? What did you make of it?
I was listening to it on the radio, which is actually really funny because I was listening to the Pfister game on the radio too. So it was kind of like the same experience again. But I was like actively yelling at the radio, like, come on, Tyler.
Yeah.
Which I can honestly say I've never audibly rooted for Tyler Alexander before. Or honestly, it's been a long time since I've audibly exclaimed for any Tigers. But it was something. And of all people, Tyler Alexander.
Well, we've known he's a good prospect, a decent prospect, not the top shelf, but he's had good stuff or whatever. But it's okay. Can he put it together? But watching him work, like, stuff was brilliant. I mean, he was working it. Now, he got a little bit of some help with a big strike zone. I mean, was it Larry Vanover was for both pitchers calling a pretty big strikeout, which is kind of key, strike zone, which is key to it. But nothing. Don't take anything away from him. He was he was brilliant. Not only that, there was the 9 strikeouts, and then he got a couple more outs after that, another strikeout after that. Mm-hmm. Like, it was dynamite.
So Dan and Jim were talking about it at the time, but they just wish that there had been fans there. And I think that would have been cool. Like, it would have it would have really enriched the whole experience. But, you know, that's something.
Can you imagine if he got that one more called strike and got that would have been 10. And then he struck out number 11 too.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a new major league record.
Yeah. As is, he's on par with Pfister and just shy of, I think it was Sandy Koufax. Is that who holds the
Tom Seaver?
Tom Seaver. Okay.
As the National League record.
There are some nice and tied with Nolan Ryan. Like, there's some nice names on that list. And now,
but he holds alone the reliever record for consecutive strikeouts.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat.
That's definitely. So, obviously he has, he's continued to prove himself. As Gardenhire likes to say, the ball comes out of his hand. Well, what do you do with him? You're the manager of the Tigers. What are you doing with him?
Well, we are in need of a starter, are we not? And
yeah, I guess in theory,
Alexander wants to start. So I would go that route, unless you're ready to bring up Mize, which I don't think. Well, maybe we were. Maybe we'll get into that in a little bit. But yeah, I wouldn't have a problem starting Alexander.
Yeah, I think
you get 4 innings out of him, 5 innings. I mean, you got a deep bullpen. I mean, now's the time to do that kind of stuff. Even if he's not quite completely stretched out, you hope to get 4.
Yeah.
3 or 4 even.
Absolutely. Like, I feel like I've banged on about this with Norris a couple times too. Like, there is value in a guy who can give you 2, 3, or 4 good quality innings. Like, we have this outdated mode of like thinking that everyone needs to be a starter and starters always have to go 6 or 7. Like that is kind of just a thing of the past now. Like you said, especially with the expanded rosters.
Like, well, I've always been fascinated by the 3-3-3 model, you know, 3 pitchers, each pitching 3 innings.
Nobody's going against the lineup a third time. Like, that is the way baseball's going. We might as well start trying to structure our roster around that. It, you know, obviously it's good to have a Casey Mize or a Matt Manning who hopefully can become guys that go deep into the games. But I mean,
but I always thought, like, last year, especially the Tigers, what's wrong with innovating or trying some things a little bit? I mean, what's the worst that could happen? You finish last and get the highest draft pick.
Yeah. I mean, What did Alexander piggyback with Verhagen last year? And that worked very well for both of them. Daniel Norris, you know, the same way. Like, there's marginal gains out there to be made, like you say, right, by innovation. And, you know, we're probably not going to get that from our current manager, but I don't hate the idea of trying to structure the roster that way going forward.
Well, and you don't have to be completely faithful to it, but I always like managers and leadership who's willing to innovate. You know, look at some of the most successful teams haven't been shy about trying things. Like Tampa Bay, Oakland, you know, these are not huge money clubs, but they were willing to innovate, and they've borne some success from that.
Yeah, how about the first team to move their best hitter up into the two spot that has now been very proven correct statistically. So the weird break has given us, like we said, a unique chance to reevaluate the state of things, and specifically in the rotation. Last week you talked about with Casey Mize, like, taking a look at 25 or 30 games and seeing, like, is it worth the promotion? We kind of have a weird chance to do that at 10. There was talk of prior to the series off that Casey Mize was coming up. Now there's a little bit more uncertainty. What do you think here?
Well, it seemed like they were going to call him up. I mean, Gardenhire essentially hinted at it because a lot of the beat guys were speculating about that, and Gardenhire said something to the effect of, oh, you guys are kind of got it figured out or whatever. I frankly was surprised by that, honestly. But I don't, do you understand all the ins and outs of this service time business?
I do not.
Like, right. I get that you burn a year of control at the end. And that's why, you know, that was like the Chris Bryant business when they held him back or whatever. But we're past that threshold. So I guess it makes sense maybe not to bring him up right at the beginning, but that doesn't seem to be an issue anymore.
Yeah. Like, we were never going the whole season without him coming up at some point. Now that we're past that deadline, you know, I kind
of now it's just fears of exposing him to too much work, exposing him too much
to COVID, I suppose. I mean, is that realistic?
Yeah. Yep. He's only had really one full minor league season. I mean, he doesn't have a ton of minor league experience, but also he's the number one pick. His stuff is obviously amazing. I think it may be a relief for him to get to the big leagues and not have to worry about that anymore. He's plenty good to do it. I don't think you're going to wreck Casey Mize.
No, and there's no risk of overusing him at this point. There's 50 right. games left in the year. Like, how much could we possibly use him in 50 games that would make that an issue? I think that is something that they're genuinely, like, looking at. I don't think you need to be. But really, like, how much more risk is there to send him out with the team than with the taxi squad until he...
Right,
like,
he's with the taxi squad. What more does he have to learn there?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not improving his game a lot. You know, you've talked me into it. The more I think about it, the more you should run him up.
Yeah, I totally agree. He doesn't have to... I mean, you can have a strict pitch count on him. You can use him, you know, for the first three innings of the games. You know, you can spring training manage him however you want, but... Yeah, I mean,
but honestly, if he were to stub his toe a little bit, maybe that wouldn't be awful either.
No, definitely not.
If nothing else, he's got the off season and he's going to be fired up and figure it out and be gung ho for the next season. So,
yeah,
I've talked myself into.
Yeah, I feel like through this, I've kind of come to the conclusion that there's just no downside to doing it, like, and to doing it now.
There you go.
All right.
We've decided. Let them know.
Boom. All right.
At the front office.
I'll text Avila. Yep. So before we get to your power rankings, let's jump into the Wayback Machine and go back to Thursday night playing the Royals. Saw a bit of a swan song from the great Miguel Cabrera. Two homers on the night against Royals pitching. It reminded me of that old country song. He's not as good as he once was, but he's as good once as he ever was.
Yeah.
So I looked it up before that game. He was 2 for his prior 22, and he's 1 of 9 since. But he had that one night.
You seem to be claiming that that's an anomaly. An anomaly?
Yeah.
Not a sign of things to come. Is it? Do you feel that way?
I do feel that way. I guess the big question...
I kind of trashed him last podcast episode, and then he hit those two dingers, and I felt stupid.
So you're saying that he only hit the two dingers to piss you off?
Yeah, everything's about me.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
In my world.
So I guess the big question at this point is, like, what does success look like for Miggy now? I mean, he's hitting, like, a $190, something like that.
Ugh. Yeah. And even the dingers that he hit, it didn't seem like that was athletic prowess. It seemed like it was wily veteraning a little bit.
Which, I mean, that's pretty much what he has left at this point. But
right. I mean, his body is as good as he's going to get out of it. He's maximized his physique. But I hate to keep dogging on him. But yeah, success looks like, you know, if he can hit for some power, I don't know, if he bats 270 with some power, that looks like success to me, probably.
Yeah, I think that's, even 270 feels maybe unrealistic.
Yeah,
it's sad, but
you're just so used to such big numbers from Miguel that you feel bad saying that, but yeah,
and he's been a great player for this club. There is no doubt about that, but you know, the end comes, and unfortunately, I think we're approaching that.
Wow, we're dogging him back-to-back episodes, even after he hit two dingers in one game.
Well, I think we can look forward to another two-dinger game next week. I mean, we're just doing our part.
We're helping.
For the team.
We're helpers.
All right, let's move on to your power rankings.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Power rankings.
It's going to be a little more relatable this week.
We'll try. We'll do our best. I did keep that in mind.
I thought last week was fun.
Well, thank you.
I learned a lot of names that I hadn't heard before.
Yeah. Well, this week's power rankings are brought to you by North River Vodka, Michigan's true spirit. North River Vodka is the only vodka made with whole fresh Michigan potatoes. I don't always drink vodka, but when I do, I choose North River Vodka. Thank you to our sponsors. Wow. So much money rolling in from vodka brands. Thanks. Today I have for you something interesting. This is a weird thing that happened in my life. But I've had a form of tacos for dinner the last three nights.
Wow.
So we had tacos three nights ago, and then we kind of had some leftover steak, so I kind of made fajitas. Fajitas are just fancy people tacos.
Yeah, bougie sure. Tacos for sure.
Yeah, and then we had my in-laws over, and they came with some taco stuff, so we had tacos again. So I have for you the best things to put in a taco.
All right, this I'm in on. Let's go.
This is approachable. All right, starting at number seven, I have avocado/guac.
Okay.
I mean, guacamole is just mashed up avocados.
Pretty much, yeah.
So that's number seven. It's not bringing a ton to the party, but you get that nice color, texture, kind of creaminess with the avocado. That's
so good. So millennial of you.
Yeah, that's right. I don't put it on toast, though, because I want to be able to afford a house.
That is how it works.
Number six is going to probably be the most divisive thing, because it's a taste bud thing, and that is cilantro. I love cilantro. I think it tastes amazing. But some people are just wired where they hate cilantro.
It's yeah. Yeah, they one of my friends actually it actually tastes like essentially like soap to them. Like it's a physiological something. I don't really understand it, but yeah.
I've heard that too. So, you know, tweet me all you mutants who don't like cilantro. Losers. Okay. You're damaged.
Coming in hot.
Number 5 is tomatoes. Tomatoes is a food you grow into. No kids like tomatoes, but tomatoes are delicious. And we've grown our own tomatoes, which is big happenings.
Aren't you fancy?
Well, yes, tomatoes are good.
So do you include salsa in tomatoes, or is that a different component altogether?
Coming in at number 4, we have salsa.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like you can double up. Because of salsa, you need a little spiciness.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
Although, is pico de gallo salsa?
Pico's trash.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Pico is just like chopped up stuff.
Trash.
It's kind of salsa. Okay. Number 4 is salsa. I like a nice medium salsa. I don't want to burn my face, but don't give me the mild.
Yeah, I'd completely
agree
with that. I
like the green salsa, the salsa verde.
Yeah.
Like it's good. Number 3 is sour cream. I love sour cream. It's just nice and cool on there. Nice texture. You made a face. You don't like the sour cream?
Not a sour cream guy. Not at all.
Fine. Number 2 is meat. I lump them together. And my meat choices in order would be chicken, fish. I like fish tacos.
Oh, woof.
And then ground beef. Ground beef for me is kind of down a little bit. I'd prefer chicken. Yeah. I like nice seasoned grilled chicken.
Definitely.
On a taco. It's pretty good. We also do like crock pot chicken. That's really good. All right. Number 1. Got a guess?
It's got to be cheese.
It is. It's cheese. You can pretty much just put cheese in a tortilla and eat it.
I mean, that is a thing. They call it a quesadilla. Yeah.
It's fine. Okay. Are you ready to get wild?
Sure.
Ready to get crazy?
Let's do it.
Here are the 3 worst. Third from the worst is rice.
What? Come on.
You already have a starch. The tortilla is starch. You don't need to put more grains with it.
The health nut in you is coming out. I love rice. I could eat rice for every meal. Even in a shell.
If you're hungry and want to eat 1,000 of something. All right. Number 2. This is going to blow your mind. But in my side of the family, when I go to my parents for tacos, my mom always has available to put in the tacos mushrooms.
Oh.
Canned mushrooms.
What is wrong with your family?
I don't know. I never had this as a kid, but like my mom and dad like to have like canned mushrooms in their tacos.
That is vile.
I never put them in. So I'm that's the second from the worst. I'm not doing this.
Ugh.
Mushrooms are a pizza food.
They're a nothing food. They grow on the ground. It's disgusting. I don't know how anybody can eat that.
Jordan, I hate to tell you, a lot of things grow.
I'm aware, but these you plan to grow those things. Mushrooms you just find wild.
Really? You don't think they have mushroom farms?
Absolutely not. It's just forests.
Oh. Okay.
They have harvesters that go through the forest and collect them.
I don't know if you know much about agriculture.
I do not. I definitely do not.
Okay, number 1 worst thing you can put on a taco. And my wife does this, and it drives me insane. Worst thing you can put on a taco. Get a guess?
It's got to be like ketchup or mayonnaise or something like that.
Ketchup.
Yeah, that's wrong.
I love ketchup. I want on my fries or my burger or whatever, but no, taco is a salsa food, not a ketchup food. It's too sweet. No, don't put ketchup on your taco. That's such a Midwestern thing to do. Don't do that. That's Power Rankings brought to you by North River Vodka.
Man, I thought better of your wife than that.
Wow. She gets a few mulligans.
You know what I've found that actually goes pretty well in a taco shell? PB&J.
You know, I was going to scorn you, but ever do like a tortilla and then spread peanut butter and then put a banana in it?
No, I'm not a big banana fan in any use other than just eating a banana. Can't do it. But yeah, I mean, the thing is a shell is essentially bread that you have in your house that can be used for whatever.
Also, that's a very Midwestern thing to call it a shell.
Is it?
Shouldn't we a tortilla, don't you mean?
Tortilla shell. Is that not synonymous? I mean, I'm from the Midwest. Obviously, I fall into that.
I don't
that.
Think outside the Midwest they're calling, because my whole family and people I know, oh, hand me a shell. I don't think outside of the Midwest they're calling those shells, are they?
Aren't they
rightly tortillas?
Probably.
All right.
That's.
We can find out.
I'm not going to find out. I trust you to look into us.
Yeah, people I know always call them shells, and I don't know if that's right.
Probably not, but do a lot of things that isn't right. That's true. So on the side of the road, nothing too awfully extravagant this week. But I did find today was trashed. Well, last so it'd be this morning. Last night you put out your trash. This morning they pick it up. Trash day in South Bend, or at least where I live. And the trash had been picked up, but apparently somebody had thrown away a deck of Uno cards, and somehow in the transfer from the trash to the truck, it must have fallen out because there was Uno cards scattered everywhere along the sidewalk.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's a couple draw fours right there. It's pretty rough.
Boom tiss.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
All right, Twitter questions.
Best I got. Oh yeah, I'm in charge of Twitter again.
You really are.
Okay, let's see. I gotta find the bottom. Chris Hyatt says, are we still working out terms to make this official vodka of the Podcastianos?
Feels like we got it covered.
Pretty much. Choose North River vodka for all your drinking needs. Okay, well, it's done, sweet. Okay. Ottawa Detroit asks, in light of Nick no longer with the team, perhaps time for a podcast rebranding?
It's been a while since we've heard one of those. It's just not going to happen. It's going to take so much more work than either of us want to put into it. It just isn't going to happen. It's the Podcastianos. It will be forever.
That's what it is for a while. Adam Dubin asks, what's tonight's podcast drinking game? Well, we drink and try to make a podcast. Well, I do. Jordan plays along. David J. Ham asks, better to promote Mize and get him some experience or not risk having him come up and pitch infrequently when the schedule is so uncertain week to week? I feel like we kind of covered some of this.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any risk of infrequent usage. Like, if they're bringing him up, they're going to have a set plan on how they want to use him. It's probably going to be every fit day.
Yeah, I don't think it could be a lot different than the taxi squad. You know, okay, you miss a start, you have to throw a bullpen or something like that. I mean,
yeah,
you could manage it. It'd be fine. We talked ourselves into it. So. Dave Fleece Flice asks, you get to go to Comerica for a game alone. Where do you sit? What do you eat? And what is your go-to heckle for opposing teams? And if you're there alone these days, they're going to hear you, right?
That's very true. So here's what I'm doing. I'm checking SeatGeek. So I'm buying the cheapest ticket in the park. I'm checking SeatGeek to see what bougie seats haven't sold. And then I'm sneaking down to there, preferably between the Tigers dugout and home plate. I feel like that's the best place to see the movement on the pitches.
Oh, so you're interested in pitch movement, really?
Obviously, yeah.
I think I'd want to be on the visitors' side a little bit so I could see into the Tigers dugout.
Okay, yeah, I could see that being worthwhile, too.
Yeah. Okay, what do you eat? I'm eating, loaded loaded tots or some nachos, something.
Yeah,
disgustingly.
The shawarma nachos. That's my go-to. Those are so good. Could definitely use some of those right now, actually. And I will be drinking the cup of coffee that I somehow smuggled in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do they sell coffee at Comerica? I'm sure they do.
Probably.
But it's good. It would be horrible.
Yeah, definitely. You know where they have great coffee is at what's Little Caesars. There's a Zingerman's Deli like mock that that has fantastic coffee, and you can get it in, which is helpful if you're going to a hockey game because hockey tends to be cold.
Yeah. Okay. What's your go-to heckle?
So if I'm within earshot of a player, what I'm doing is yelling, "Hey, so and so, you got a left hanger," you know, meaning that the left back pocket is hanging out. When in fact, they do not have a hanger.
Oh, so clever. So my heckling would be gentle but devastating. So I'm going with like, "Hey, you aren't as good as you think you are." Or maybe, "Your game has some significant flaws." You know, something like that.
Love it.
Yeah. You know. Your plate approach isn't very sound. You know, just really break it down for them. Like, "You have no power to the opposite field." Kind of really specific. Yeah. Just get really, really into their pitching.
Yeah, and you have to do a little bit of research to be effective in that. But
yeah,
I think that would be really effective.
Yeah. "Your two-strike approach stinks." Something like that. All right. That would be fun, though.
It would be fun
to be the only fan there. You could get a lot of attention. Okay. Pizza Slayer, JSlaw0809, asks, we have some more regional humor here, I think. "The doxology starts and four deacons walk up the middle aisle to the pulpit with collection plates. Which four tigers are the deacons? I got Jordy Mercer, Nico, Austin Romine, and Gardy. Gotta have an elder. Thoughts?"
I mean, it's hard to disagree with that four.
You did really well, Pizza Slayer. You carried a lot of the freight for that question. Thank you.
I thought maybe Boyd. I don't know who I'd pull, though.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Seems pretty sound.
Yeah.
Well, too bad Don Kelly isn't around.
Yeah, he'd be an obvious choice, definitely.
Okay, Jacob Skoronik asks, "Build your perfect Tigers player from the current roster. Assume they are two-way switch hitters." So he's asking for like tools.
Mm-hmm.
So which Tigers player has the best arm?
It's got to be either Scope or Jake Rogers. That's who I came up with.
I guess I was thinking, what pitcher has the best arm? Soto?
Probably.
Velocity?
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with that. I probably used to think that, and really not so much anymore.
Who on our team has the best glove? I thought this was actually a pretty interesting question.
I took Jordy Mercer. It's not go ahead.
I thought Mercer too. I mean, he's not on the club, but the best glove would probably be somebody like Hill, Derek Hill.
Yeah.
Sergio. But our outfield Alcantara. Only Jacoby is the competent outfielder. Well, Demerit, I suppose, is all right. So best right-handed hitter,
right-hand swing. I mean, it's Miggy, right? If you're taking a swing, give me Miggy.
Yeah, left-handed hitter is probably Nico.
I went a little deeper, not on the roster, but your boy Riley Green.
Oh, for sure. Oh, Riley Green. Personality.
Eric, put it away.
Hey, you can't stand in the way of love. Personality. Here's the thing, though, with the personality question. I feel like 5 years ago, we knew the personalities of more of the players than we knew now because they were around longer, and like there was more like pregame and postgame show, and there was just more energy around the team and the players. Like, do you know what Scope is like? Do you know what Crone is like? Do you know what Travis Demerit is like?
Nope.
You know,
and for that reason, give me Joe Jimenez's personality.
just because he's a little bit of a mirror gazer.
Self-involved? Is that an
He's gotten better, though. He hasn't. Maybe.
I love it. I don't want him to get better. I want him to continue.
Right. I'm guessing guys like Kristen Stewart or Nico are kind of like cool guys.
I would think so, yeah.
Seinfeld voice. I'm not going to do
that. What's the deal?
Jeremy Troia in a Seinfeld voice asks, what's the deal with service time manipulation? For real, though, I think the Tigers have a great opportunity to right a wrong and call it Mize. We covered this. We do too, Jeremy. Good call. Robert Baker asks, also, make the most one tool player possible with the Tigers' recent memory. Guys that did one thing and only one thing well. Example, Stephen Moya's power, Nook Logan's speed, etc. Derek Hill's defense.
There you go. I have Adam Everett's glove and Danny Wirth's knuckleball.
Oh, wow. Danny Wirth's traveling back and forth to Toledo. The best.
So that would be what? Danny Wirth's Prius?
Yeah. Snack Efron, which is a pretty good name. Gnarls Brukowski is his Twitter handle.
Probably not his birth name.
Maybe. You never know with parents these days.
True.
Millennials. Didn't Elon Musk name his kid some like number or something stupid?
69?
No, I don't think he named his kid 69. That's naughty. He asks, due to factors outside of my control, the amount of baseball I've been able to watch live has been limited to the Tyler Alexander versus Nick at-bat, which was a good one to catch if you're going to do that. I may not watch another inning. 2020 has been awesome. Aside from the world crumbling, cheers, fellas. I don't think there was a question anywhere.
Yeah, lots unpacked there. None of it a question.
Tyler Alexander versus Nick was a good at-bat, though. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Adam Langworthy asks, would you rather go 500 with Shep in the booth?
Oh, no.
15 wins below 500 and have Mario back in the booth? It's a little harsh to Shep. I feel like I don't want to pile on Shep anymore. Maybe a little bit. I don't know. What would you take?
It's a tough one. I don't know.
I want the extra wins. It's a short season. We'll be fine.
Yeah, at 500, we're probably getting in the playoffs. So yeah, give me 500.
Here's another piling on Shep question.
Be nice, people. I know we started this, but be nice. Yeah,
we're skipping the pile on
Shep. All right.
Here's a question from Descenzo. Oops.
You're a fantastic reader.
Oh, crap. Jacoby Jones, first ballot? That's the question.
Yes, absolutely.
No, I'm sure he's voted before.
I think it's Hall of Fame is what we're getting at here.
Really? The Baseball Hall of Fame?
I mean, it's an exaggeration joke. I don't think he actually thinks that he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think it's, wow, he's playing well. Obviously, first ballot Hall of Famer. So, yes.
Isn't that the first rule of improv? You're supposed to say yes and... That's.
I can't say that I know any rules of improv, so I'm going to take your word for that one.
Tim in the North asks, seriously, a healthy Mario and Pemba versus Rod Allen with tweaked back. Five-minute rounds. Who gets dethroned? Tim in the North, are you fighting Mario and Rod? Don't. We've kind of had a version of that, and look what happened to us. Let's not fight them. Let's have peace.
Yeah.
What? Okay. Tim in the North is going. He's got more questions. He's got three. Did Carol Baskins kill her husband? Yeah.
Yes, obviously. Absolutely.
Yeah. Who's playing the organ? I don't know. I don't know that.
I assume it was you.
If I played the organ, it would sound like death. Jamer off to assist. Oh, this is lawn steak ball. I think this is one of the slaws. Jamer off to a sizzling 2-21 start. Have you ever gone 2-21 on anything in your life?
I'll let you weigh in on this one first.
I mean, asking girls out on a date.
That was actually what I was thinking too.
Something like that. Not so lucky in love there, Hall. You did well for yourself.
Come on. All's well that ends well.
But I think the point of the tweet is Jamer is looking a little shaky. His last game looked better.
Yeah.
Than the ones before it. I think those were his two hits, but no, he's not. It's a little shaky for Jamer. It's
10 games, small sample size.
All right. We have hope. Tim in the North again.
Goodness Jeez, gracious.
Tim, greedy. How much time do we have for rambling? What's your walk-up song and what's your favorite Tigers walk-up song? Do they even have walk-up songs right now?
I think so.
I don't pay attention. I don't know.
I'll go first. So my favorite one, probably JD's Every Day I'm Hustlin', primarily just because he stuck with it for so long.
Oh, yeah.
And there was one year that Miggy had a song that just repeated like, okay, like three or four times before it got cut off. Neither know the song nor the artist, but that one obviously had a big impression on me. Mine would probably be something Nelly, something from childhood, Country Grammar, something like that.
I'm having some like novelty gimmick song. Like peanut butter jelly time or something like that. That's what I want. Something silly. Kalamazoo Whammer asks, what win-loss record do the Tigers need to have to be buyers, if any? His thought is, his or her thought, sorry, should be gender neutral.
Absolutely.
Their thought,
there you go,
is 12 and 8 after 20 games, you go all in.
I guess here's my thought on this is like, what if we're buying, what are we paying with? We're clearly not going to be trading Mize, yeah. Manning, Scooble. Like, that doesn't leave much. I don't know. I don't see.
That's a good point.
I don't.
The buying, so to speak, would just be like bringing up more kids and just trying.
Yeah, that. I'd agree with that.
I'm skipping some more church jokes collection. Here's the last hymn. Da, da, da. Okay. More church jokes. Okay. You have an unlimited budget for a baseball movie. Give me the premise, the main character, as in the actor, the manager, and the villain. I didn't do this. I don't know if I'm going to think of any. But I think this would be a time to say RIP to Wilford Brimley. Don't you?
Sure, absolutely.
Do you know who that is, Hall?
Not a clue.
The Quaker Oats guy? You're probably too young to experience the joy of Wilford Brimley's Quaker Oats commercials. Do you know who Wilford Brimley is?
No, I've literally never heard the name. You can go on and talk about him if you want, though, but I'm not going to have anything to add.
He played the manager in The Natural.
Never seen it.
This is a baseball podcast, Jordan Hall.
If you talk about Rookie of the Year, I'm all over that one.
I've been on Rookie of the Year, too. It's my favorite stupid baseball. But Wilford Brimley was this guy who always seemed a lot older than he was, and he promoted Quaker Oats and had, like, diabetes medication commercials. Like,
oh, you ever diabetes seen testing about, supplies to do with the mustache?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's what I know him from. Okay. Jeez. Yeah, I love that dude. Diabetes.
Coon. But yeah, he was the diabetes guy.
Love that dude. Yeah. RIP.
Well, he died now. Sorry. That's it. That was a lot of questions, and I skipped over a few of the regional church jokes.
That was good. That was fun. If you want to get in touch with the show on Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain. At Podcastianos, facebook.com/Podcastianos, and leave us a review. Eric, anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for another week?
I hope we have some more baseball, and I hope we have some safe baseball. It's been fun when it's been on. It's been a rallying thing for, like, it was good to see Tigers Twitter alive again.
I'd agree with that.
Like, Tyler Alexander's doing his thing, and all of a sudden, yeah, you get a bunch of tweets, and it's like, you know, getting everybody back together. Getting the gang back together. It's good to see you.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that if Tyler Alexander ever strikes out 10 more batters in a specific outing, that next time we'll actually win that game.
Yeah, that was kind of a downer part of the thing. Did we win the Pfister game?
I don't remember. That was a lot of years ago. I don't remember
either. See,
we were good then, though, remember. So probably, yeah.
That's probably true. That's a good point.
With that being said, we will catch you guys next week and eat them up, Tigers. Eat them up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.